Amen. Let's thank God for our youth one more time. Thank God for what he's doing in the life of our youth. They are growing by leaps and bounds. Amen. One thing I like about the youth that on Youth Sunday, they come up and they share and they do their thing. But the other Sundays, they're with Raymond, they're with Brandy, they're with Tracy. I know Christina just recently joined the youth ministry. Amen. And so they're learning every Sunday. It's not just a show for Youth Sunday, and you all can see that as they minister. They don't come up here and perform. They minister. In addition to that, when we're outside of the building, whether we're doing the pancake breakfast or we're at Shakey's or somewhere like that, the youth are awesome, having a good time. Love the Lord, real relationship, and they are a lot of fun to hang out with. I love hanging out with my youth. Amen? Amen. So let's continue to encourage them and thank God for them. They could be anywhere else on a Sunday morning. They're in the house of God. Thank you, Bree, for reading the scripture. So we will be just kind of reviewing Esther 4:4, and then we'll go ahead and get into the lesson. We're already into the lesson, but we will continue on with the lesson. As Bree so eloquently read in Esther 4:4, so Esther's maids and her chamberlains came and told it her. That's what's here. That's the King James Version. Told it her. Then was the queen exceedingly grieved, and she was depressed, and she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai and to take away his sackcloth from him, but he received it not. So sometimes you get the news and you're just depressed. She was, it said, exceedingly distressed. She was very disappointed and depressed. Yes, even high up, a title does not prevent you from being depressed. Amen. A position doesn't prevent you from having to deal with real life issues when your family's under attack and when it seems like your whole world is falling apart. And we started this, when God allows your whole world to fall apart, how do you handle it? How do you deal with it? So here's the queen. She's stressed out. She's depressed, and then she sends a suit to Mordecai, some new clothes, and said, just put on some new clothes and you'll feel better. And Mordecai said, not this time. A new suit can't cover this up. A new house can't cover this up. Ladies, a couple new pair of shoes can't cover it up sometimes. It gets close, but not this time. There are times where the new house won't do it, or a new relationship won't do it. It's only you getting close to God that does it. And as our youth, as you all go through this, you understand the only thing that does it is getting close to God. It's a lot of pressure for all of us to try and be something, to become something. God has already made us something. We don't need anything else to be something. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. God has already done it. So the closer we get to God, then the less we need of other stuff. So we talked about it, and I just want to go a little bit deeper, and then as we say, we get deep but not complicated. So let's get a little bit deep but not complicated. What Mordecai was telling Esther is that I have to get to the root of the matter. We talked about it last week when we compared the root to the fruit. And so God is saying you have to get to the root of the matter. In the back of your bulletin, we put root and what it stands for. The R stands for your relationship with God. And it has a scripture that goes with it. I believe it's 2 Corinthians 5:17. It's in there. So you can deal with fruit, but fruit is just what's there. It's fruit could be the sickness. It could be the pink slip. It could be the marriage. It could be the divorce. It could be the new relationship. It could be the new house. It could be the new car. And that's the fruit. But God said it gets to the root, because whatever we do, we have to get to the root. How's your relationship with Christ? How is your obedience to Christ? Have you offered 100 percent of your heart and life to Christ? And then T, do you trust God in each and every situation and circumstance in your life? That gets to the root. So I'm having issues in my marriage. Well, let's see. Between you and your spouse, how's your relationship in Christ? Uh-oh. Yeah, now that's why you're having issues. Yeah, that is it. We didn't even have to get to the O, to your obedience to the word, or to you, have you offered 100% of your life and heart to Christ? And do you trust God in each and every situation? See, sometimes you can stop at the R as you're trying to get to the root. And it's not, remember, it's about the vertical. When my vertical is right with God, then my horizontal is good with everybody else. If you're not right with God, everybody's going to get on your nerves. People are going to get on your nerves. The fruit is going to wear you out. Every situation and circumstance is going to be an issue. But that's not because of the issue. It's because your root is not connected to the source. Let me show you something really interesting so I can make sense. Let's go to Genesis. Let's go back to some root and some fruit. Let's go to Genesis so you can see what I'm trying to tell you. Genesis chapter 3. Natalie, we're going to be all over the place, so just roll. You know how we roll. Did I say Genesis 3? All right, so we have to start at Genesis 3 and 1. Now, the serpent was more subtle. He was more cunning. He was more crafty. He was more tricky than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yes, has God said you should not eat of every tree of the garden? All right, underline tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the what? Fruit of the trees of the garden. Underline fruit. He's talking, even the enemy, he's talking about a tree and she's talking about a fruit. And we know that trees have roots, so you got to get to the root. Okay, listen, verse 3. But of the fruit of the tree, she's still talking, but of the fruit of the tree, which in the midst of the garden, God has said, you should not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. The serpent, you know how he is. Well, you're not, you ain't going to die. Why are you listening to God, all this God stuff? You can sin, you can do your own thing. It's no big deal. Everybody's doing it. You're so uptight. You're so square. You're so weird. Verse 5, see, for God know that in that day you eat thereof. For God, man, God just don't want you to have fun, youth. He's a cosmic killjoy that every time you try to have some fun, he's going to strike you with a lightning bolt and say, get back in order. So you need to go do your thing and get lost in the fruit and enjoy your life. After all, YOLO, you only live once. That's what the enemy tells you. Get involved in the fruit because you're only going to live once. So, but that's not true. Because the word says it's appointed for man to die. And after that is the judgment. Oh, yeah. And we already know Revelation 20:15. All right. So here he is. That's how he talks to you and I. That's how he tells us that do our own thing is going to be all right. For God does know in the day that you eat thereof, your eyes shall be open and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. But they, in Genesis 1:26, they were already like God. So he's trying to make you think that you need something to be something. But you already that because God has made you that, youth. Those of us that are not so, we don't have to try and be something. We already are. We just have to get to the root. How is our relationship, our obedience, our offering, and are we trusting God? Let's do a quick comparison. Look at Genesis 2:15. Let's do a comparison between 3:1-5 and 2:15-18. I want you to underline it in your Bible where you hear God talk about fruit. Verse 15, and the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day thou shalt eatest, thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good for man that he should be alone. Eve wasn't even created when God gave the commandment. She's talking about fruit. Did God mention fruit anywhere in that? No. He's talked about trees. Trees have roots. The fruit is really not important. She brought up fruit. And some people say that, well, it was apple. It never said apple. It didn't say what type of fruit it was. And it's the benefit of living with a scientist in the house, my son Jalen, with Dad, technically an apple is a flower. Hey, you can talk to him about that after service. Trust me, he knows. Trust me, he knows. Okay? I ask questions. I ask my scientists. All right? So get that. Oh, yeah, Eve ate the apple. Adam ate that. Says nothing about that. We don't even know what part of the tree it was. And when you think about it, we're having this conversation today, and we, I mean, some trees have roots, and sometimes we eat the root, right? Like, I think he told me a potato. A carrot is a root. How many of you like carrots? All right. All right. All right. How many of you don't like vegetables? All right. Anyway. So we have a potato, we have a carrot, we have a radish. And so he said, of the tree you cannot eat. So I said, little man, or do we eat the bark of the tree? Because it had nothing to do with fruit. It could have been, you could eat a limb back then. Who knows the way God created? He said, you could eat of the tree. He said, no, Dad, we don't really eat branches, but we eat greens. But that's a plant. That's different. All right. But of a tree, you can eat the bark. It has nutritional value. He told me how when the settlers came, the Indians would strip the bark off the trees. So when they would run them into the wilderness, they couldn't eat off the tree bark. So God could have said, hey, you can eat the bark. You can eat the roots. You can. But just don't, you know, of that tree. So it didn't matter what part, it's just that one. So we do eat roots, and God deals with the root. And here we are dealing. Eve's dealing with fruit. She wasn't even created. Men, don't be passive. Because after they ate it, it said her husband was with her. Why wouldn't he speak up? Why wouldn't he say something? If she wasn't even there when the commandment. So that goes to communication. Singles, couples, you have to communicate. Otherwise, you'll be dealing with the fruit in your relationship, the fruit in your life all the time, and you'll never get to the root. And then Satan will be kicking back laughing at you because you never deal with your real issues, which is how is your relationship to Christ? God said nothing about fruit. All right, let's go back to Esther 4. So that's what Mordecai is telling her. I'm not dealing with fruit. I'm dealing with the root. I have to get into the presence of God. I need to know God. Only God can help me with this. Not this time. Can't take the easy way out. Let me give you another side note, too. There we have Genesis 3. First recorded lie in the Bible. First recorded lie in the Bible. Genesis 3:3. Told to a married couple. Make a note of that. Don't think, oh, you get married and it's happily ever after. Satan's going to lie to you every day. Try and get you to question what God has said about you, your relationship, your mate, your spouse. You better deal with root and not fruit. Somebody say amen. Amen. But turn with me to Acts. We'll come back to Esther. Go to Acts 5. I think we talked about this before, but you know how I am when I study. I'm all over the place. Acts 5. So we have the first recorded lie in the Bible told to a married couple. We have the first recorded lie in the church told by a married couple. Let me say it again. First recorded lie in the Bible told to a married couple. First lie in the church told by a married couple. Singles, as you are looking for a mate, look for someone with character and with integrity. Husbands, you should never put your wife in a position where she has to lie on your behalf. Ladies, you should never put your wives, you should never put your husband in a position where he has to fabricate or be disingenuous on your behalf. Is Ivy here today? Ivy, you got, is it, I don't, can I, you can hear me. Okay, it's okay, good. Men, we must be men of character and integrity. God, help us not to put us in a position where, honey, I just need you to say, are you kidding me? Wives, and you're saying, honey, I really want to be a woman of honor and truth, but this time, could you, just this one time? Because I tell you what it'll do. In the long run, it'll unravel the fabric of your marriage. In the long run, it will. If you're used to lying to each other and lying about other stuff, and you're in a relationship together, all you're doing is waiting for the time for your relationship to, the fabric of your relationship to unravel. All right, take a look at Acts. I said Acts 5, correct? Did I say that?
Yes.
All right. Well, you know me. I have to start with, let's go to 4. Let's go to 4 and 31, just because. Acts 4 and 31, and then we'll go all the way through 5. They had already been commanded to stop preaching and teaching in the word of God. And verse 31, we pick it up. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. Underline that, because some people say if you don't speak in tongues, if you don't roll on the floor and all that kind of stuff, you're not filled with the Holy Ghost. Right here, they prayed. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Still, that's what the word says. Make a note of it. Let's go to verse 32. And the multitude of them that believe were of one heart, underline their one heart. South Bay Abundant Life family, let's continue to be of one heart and one soul. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Jesus Christ is our Lord. He's our Savior. He's the one that saves. We're servants of him. We're called to make disciples and build the kingdom of God. One heart, one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of things which had possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. So we don't own anything. God actually owns everything. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them. Underline that. It's the first church. What they spoke on was the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's what sealed the deal. That's what settled it all. Not name it and claim it and blab it and grab it. Not a prosperity message. Not that you have to work to be saved. You should work after you're saved, but you don't work to be saved. It's the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the free gift that we receive, for by grace are we saved through faith. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 34, neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands and houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. So they all worked together. They brought the tithes and the offerings into the house, and some of them gave everything. That's their business, just like it's your business. When you give, it's all about the root. It's all about the root. And I said, if you don't trust God, then you're not going to give. If you think giving and tithing is about money, then you miss it. It's about trusting God. It's about your relationship. It's about obedience. It's about offering 100% of your life to Christ. Verse 36, and Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which means it's being interpreted, the son of consolation, the son of encouragement, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus. 37, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So this guy Joseph, he sold his money, he sold his house, he sold his land, and he brought all of it, because that's his business. If you want to do that, that's your business. Nobody's pressuring you to do it. Jesus said he loves a cheerful giver. If you're not excited about giving, keep it. And deal with your stuff on your own. That's all to it. Go ahead. If you can do more than God can do, do your thing. Here we go. Here comes the problem. When a sentence starts with but. You know, when you ask your kids something, they go, did you clean? But. You know, it's a problem already. Did you? But what happened? But what? You know, it's a problem. It didn't say everybody. It said, but a certain man. Underline that, a certain man. Named Ananias with his wife Sapphira. His wife sold a possession. See, it wasn't everybody. It was just a certain one. And look, they kept back part of the price. His wife also being aware of it had brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. See, the only difference is that when Joseph brought his, he just brought everything. When they brought it, they kept back a price and pretended that they gave everything. That's the only difference. A lie. Somebody's heart was filled with deception when they gave. If we would go to Luke and they were giving their offering and Jesus was watching, just like he's watching here, just like the Holy Spirit is inside of us and watching us. He saw the men giving it out of their abundance. He saw the lady give two mites. The lady gave two pennies. He said she gave more. Because it's not about how much, it's about the condition of the heart when you give. But a certain man named Ananias, men, I guess it's on us because we're the leaders. So he could have stopped that stuff just like Adam could have stopped it. No, honey, we got to tell the truth. I will go without before I take a dishonest dollar. Honey, we just got to trust God in it. God's going to come through. But a certain man named Ananias with his wife Sapphira, his wife sold a possession and kept back part of the price. His wife also being aware of it and brought it a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said to Ananias, why has Satan, look who fills your heart when you're lying. Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not yours? When you have it, when you make your money, that's your money. That's what he's saying. And after it was sold, it's yours. Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, you've lied unto God. First recorded lie told by a married couple in the first recorded lie in the church. And for what? All he had to do, was it this amount? Yes, that's all to it. And Ananias hearing these words fell down and gave up the ghost, which means he died. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out and buried him. You know, in the Jewish culture, when you die, you gone. See you later. We're going to bury you right away within 24 hours, I believe, is the custom. verse 7, it was about the space of 3 hours when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. Somebody say, amen. Have mercy, Lord. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yes, ooh, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that you have agreed together? Tempting the Spirit of God. You lying. How is it that you and your wife are lying to God? Behold, the feet of them which have buried your husband are at the door and shall carry you out. Then she fell down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead and carried her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. Even us today is like, I'm afraid of that, too. Amen. Either we deal with fruit or we deal with the root. OK, let's go back to Esther and let's kind of pick it up a little bit. That's a tough one right there. That's a tough one right there, boy. See if we can find something in the scriptures to cheer us up. Amen. Say, thank God for the grace. And this is the New Testament as well. This is the era of grace. But we can't be out lying to the Holy Ghost. And for what? That's because we're still dealing with fruit. We're not dealing with the root. When you get a chance, you take your bulletin home and you look those scriptures up this week and see what it says. I'm not just coming from opinion. I always back it up with the Word of God. I get in trouble when we get into opinions and all that. What do you think about this? Well, the Word says. Man shall love his wife as he loves himself. The word says, wives, honor your husband. The word says it's better to be single than to be married. Yeah, I can show you that. Because those that are single, they only have to deal with the Lord. But those who are married, we got to deal with everything. I mean, it's not a bad thing, but it's just different. Amen. So we stick to the word of man. The word says a man shall not lie with mankind as with womankind. It also says a man shall not lie with a beast. Yeah, that's funny, I know. But that's what the word says, because they were doing it these days. So they both should be put to death, the man and the beast, or the woman and the beast. We talked about it before. The beast is like, I was just standing here. I ain't got nothing to do with it. Why I got to die? I don't even like that dude. So you read this in the book of Leviticus, chapter 18. Read it for yourself. All right. So we're back at Esther 4. So we talked about it last week. Then we got to 11, where Mordecai tells Esther she needs to go in and talk to the king. And then then Esther responds in verse 11, all the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king in the inner court, who is not called, there's only one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I have not been called to come into the king these 30 days. Talked about it last week. Ladies, if your man hasn't called you in 30 days, he probably don't want to see you. He definitely don't want you just showing up at his door. Men, if your girl hasn't contacted you in 30 days, just let it go. Okay, just move on. Chalk it up to experience. Say, God, I obviously she wasn't the one. And if it was meant to be, then it'll happen. But after 30 days, just don't show up. Don't. We don't. Don't come knocking on me. Don't come knocking on my door. All right. So then Mordecai tells her. In verse 14, he says, if you all together hold your peace at this time, then God's going to deliver. He's going to relieve and deliver from another place. But you and your house is going to have to be dealt with. So just because we live over here in America, and it is very comfortable for Christians, although we do face persecution on our jobs, here, there, sometimes in our families, sometimes in our churches. But it's very comfortable. It's not like in the other countries where, you know, they're chopping off Christians' heads and killing them because they take a stand for Jesus Christ. And Mordecai is telling Esther, when it starts going down, you better believe you're not going to escape it either. He's telling us when it really hits the fan, just because you live in a nice, big, comfortable house and you drive a nice car and you got a nice job, don't think that you're not going to get persecuted as well. It would be naive for us to think that we're not going to get persecuted within our families, within our jobs, because we have a nice house or we have a nice job or you have money in the bank. It doesn't matter if you do or you don't. When they're separating the wheat from the tare, the sheep from the goats, God's people from those that are not, the pretenders from the real ones, those of us who are truly committed to Christ, We're going to be in the middle of that. So he's telling Esther, look, you can't play this game just because you're in the king's house. That this buddy. And he's saying you can't play the game with the world. You know, you can't play this game with the world as if you're not going to have to make a decision at some point. Just because you hang out with them, when they find out you're a Christian and when they ask you to do this and you don't, you're going to find out who was really your friend and who wasn't. He's saying, look, you know, he tells her, and who knows whether or not you've come to the kingdom for such a time as this. We talked about it last week. We've been born at this time, this era in history for whatever's going on in the kingdom of God. For whatever God's trying to do, this is our time. And whether we live up to that or not, God's will is still going to be done. But then it's our life that'll be a wreck because we thought we would get away because we lived comfortably. God's will is still going to be done. But for you and your purpose in God, it'll never happen. If you pretend that it's not going to come to my door. Because you and I, we were born for such a time as this. Then Esther, verse 15, then Esther, once she got the message, look, why do you think you were born into your family around this time? In the area, why do you think you live where you live, where you work where you work? Why do you think for this time somebody needs to know about Christ? Okay, I got it. Then Esther said, okay, go tell him, return this answer to Mordecai. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan. And you fast for me. See, now we're getting to the root. I'm going after God. I'm going to go take this death walk, this death march into the king. She said, I'm putting it all on the line for the king. And if I perish, I perish. And let me tell you this. If you're not willing to give God the little things, don't think all of a sudden you're going to get bold and when your life is on the line, it's a life or death situation that you're going to give that to God too. Don't fool yourself. If you haven't been practicing giving God the little things, when the big things come, you're going to wilt. You're going to fold because you're not in the habit of giving God anything. You're not going to get a certain burst of energy and power and go, you know what? I got this. God, it's me and you. Let's go. No, you're not. You're not. It's not going to happen. If you haven't been practicing giving God everything, when the time comes, it's life or death, you will give him nothing. If you haven't been practicing giving God every little thing, when the pressure comes, life or death, you will give him no thing, which is nothing. Verse 16, go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also, my maidens, will fast likewise. And so I will go unto the king, which is not according to the law. I'll take that death march. And if I die, so be it. You mean you're going to give up? You're the king's wife. You have everything you could ask for. But without God, it means nothing. It's really nothing. And she realizes that. I'm going to give it all up for God. I'm giving him 100%. I'm selling out because I know I can see through the cosmos, which we call this world, the orderly system of deception. I can see through it and I realize that it's really nothing. Without my relationship with God, I actually have nothing. Everything else is a mirage. It looks like it's something else, but it's really not. And she says, you know what? Since you put it that way, I know God is real. So look, I'm going in. I'm giving it all up for God. And in the process, if I perish, then I perish. I'm giving him everything. And if I lose everything and come out with nothing, I've still gained. Wow. And then think about this. When she said you fast for me 3 days and three nights, we talked about it with Nehemiah, how you should pray specifically when the king asked Nehemiah, what do you want? He prayed right there on the spot. He didn't go into a long, deep thing. He prayed right there. And then he told the king exactly what he wanted. And the king granted, gave it exceedingly above that. And I guarantee you in those 3 days, well, I can't guarantee it, but I'll say that during those 3 days, they're praying. What are we praying? That I'll go to the king, that he'll grant me favor. That when I walk into the king, he'll ask me, what do I want? How can I help you? That's what I want you to pray and fast, that when I walk into the king, that I get a favor immediately. And then that he'll ask me, what do I want? He won't say, oh, Esther, I missed you. Come lie with me. I don't want to go there. I need you to pray specifically. Oh, Esther, I've been thinking about you for 30 days. I knew I should have texted you, but my battery was low. Okay. My phone is in the shop. I'm getting a new phone. I give you my new number later, okay? No. She didn't want to go there. She didn't want to have to go there. And he'd say, baby, I missed you, and I've been thinking about you. Come on, let's go. You're my queen. Come lie with me. No, let's pray that when I walk in. Did I get favor? And he asked me, what do you want? So we can go ahead and get this ungodly law reversed. I need you praying and fasting 3 days and three nights. Family, when we're praying and fasting in our morning time, pray and fast and ask specifically. Be specific to God. God, cover my kids with your blood. God, cover my wife at work. Lord, give me favor when I go into this meeting. Lord, open the door. Lord, show me where you want me to be. Show me what's my gift. What's my ministry? Lord, send someone my way who I can introduce Christ to today. When you're fasting and praying, pray specifically. What do you want? And pray according to the will of God. He's not going to give you a big house and you can't even take care of the apartments you got. I don't know. That's not what I'm talking about. It's not going to give you a new car and you're not maintaining the one you have and you're not even happy riding a bus or whatever you're doing, because it's not about the things. It's about your relationship. It's about the root. Pray specifically. All right, let's pick it up. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. Chapter 5, verse 1. Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel. All right. It's a big difference, though. All right. Big difference. This time she gets dressed up. Look, in 4, she said, put on these clothes and cover up the issue. But in verse 5, she went to God. She's praying and fasting. So it's not the apparel that's going to make her something, because she's already been sanctified and built up from the inside out through the praying and fasting. The clothes is not a problem. When you built up from the inside out, when you try and put on the new suit to cover up the stuff that's going on inside and you think that's going to do it. See, that's the wrong formula. Oh, but she gets dressed up. She's all dolled up. But it's from the inside out. And then what she puts on just adds to it, because she's already taking care of what's inside. Remember in Nehemiah when they were building and sanctifying, who remembers that message? Right. And when you weren't building and sanctifying, if you're just building without sanctifying, then you're just recycling sin. If you're building and you're not sanctifying, then you're just recycling sin. But when you're from the inside out, you're building, you're sanctified. Now, it doesn't matter what you wear. I mean, actually, it does. You know, you should anyway. But put on your royal apparel, your godly apparel. Amen. I remember when we were in Egypt and you go into certain the holy sites, you have to, you know, you have to cover up. And so it's hot. I mean, it is like 100+. And so we're wearing shorts. But when we went into the place that was right next to the burning bush, they have a church there. They sell sheets and you have to wrap up, you know, like you put on a skirt or whatever for $1. It's like, what, $1? Okay. And so then, you know, I put mine on. And then when we were leaving, the guy said, I need my sheet back. I said, no, dude, I gave you $1. He's like, no, that's just for rent. Man, I was in here for like 30 minutes, an hour. But I'm not an idiot. I'm not going to go to jail in Egypt now. You know what I mean? Not over $1. I ain't going to jail. And it was one of the sisters that was in our group, and she had her shoulders out. And she said, no, I'm not covering up. I said, well, you're not going in. You make the choice, but you just can't come to the certain holy sites looking crazy. Cover that stuff up or stay out. So there's a way that you dress yourself up in your godly apparel. Somebody say amen. All right. So she's got it together from the inside out. Ladies, gentlemen, let's have it together from the inside out. Let that be that's the root right there. Let that be the goal. Now it came to pass, and there's 8 things after they prayed and fasted. There are 8 things that we see in the scriptures that happened based upon that specific praying and that specific fasting. Verse 5. Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house, over across the king's house, and the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house. Across or over against the gate of the house. Notice the king is where he has always been. The king has always been there. God has always been there. It's you and I that we change positions, but the king is where he's always supposed to be, on the throne. He's not out to get us. God is always waiting for us to come back to him. He's never changed. We're the one that changes position. She knew exactly where to find the king. You and I know exactly where to find the king. But the question is, do we want to get cleaned up from the inside out and then go to the king? Or do we have the wrong idea, even when we're not cleaned up from the inside out, that the king doesn't want to have anything to do with us? That we're talking salvation, we're talking rededication, we're talking daily relationship. Now, I can unpack those at another time. But the king is always where he is. Don't be afraid to go to God. Don't be afraid to throw yourself at the mercy of the king. The King of Kings, that is. Verse 2, underline, and it was so. We remember we talked about timing, we talked about purpose, we talked about favor, and it was so. When the king saw Esther, the queen standing in the court, that she obtained what? Underline that. Praying and fasting. That's why you pray for that favor. She walked in, she got favor right away. You have people talking about favor isn't fair. I haven't seen that in the scripture, but I see a life that's consecrated and praying and fasting getting favor. Oh, God bless me, favor and fasting. I don't know, but I don't even know how you living. Don't try and put that on the favor of God. Every time in the scripture when someone gets favor, it's because they've been praying and fasting, they're seeking God, and then the favor of God comes. This is not no abracadabra stuff. It's not no genie in a bottle. Poof, what do you need? Poof, what do you need? Poof, what do you need? It's not Aladdin. It's not Aladdin. It's not that. She took the death walk. She prayed and fasted and had her family praying and fasting too, and her friends specifically. Family, you can expect the favor of God when you go to God and you're committed and you're dealing with the root and not the fruit. And it was so. Somebody underline that. And then make a note, Proverbs 21:1, because we know that the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord and he turns it whichever way he wills. In Bible study, and I've come back up with Bible study, I've been coming a few times and I kind of like it. You know, I'm finished teaching at the university and stuff. But we saw that God, he turned Pharaoh's heart. He made it harder. Wow, God, why my boss is always tripping on me? God could be making that heart just turn against you. So maybe it's time for you to go, or maybe it's time for you to grow up. It's not about your boss, it's about you. But we know whichever way God wants to turn that heart, he can turn it. That's God's job. Your job, my job, our job is to stay committed to God. But we know that he could. So if you remember the spiritual warfare, which we're under the umbrella of spiritual, if you still get mad and upset with people, then you got a lot of maturing to do. If you're getting upset with your kids and your spouse and you see something's wrong with the vertical, we're dealing with spiritual warfare. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. God is ultimately placing everything where he wants it to be. He's trying to grow you up this time. You're fighting against the growth. It's not people. Stop fighting against people. Allow God to grow you up. Go after God like we go after so many other things. So Esther said, okay, hey, look, I'm going in. And whatever happens, happens. I'm trusting God with everything. Verse 2, and it was so when the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of it. Then said the king unto her, look what they were praying and fasting for. What do you want, Queen Esther? And what is your request? Just what they were. Oh, God, thank you. That's what I wanted him to ask me. That's what we prayed for. That's what we fasted 3 days for. That's what we sacrificed for, that we would walk in, get favor, and then he would ask, what do you want? Somebody, including myself, we got to step up our praying and fasting game. And that's why I'm committed to every morning, because I want to see the hand of God move like this on behalf of our family, on behalf of our people, on behalf of our church, on behalf of the world that's dying. I want to see the hand of God move like this when we're sold out, family. Imagine what a sold out church can do, praying and fasting every morning for the power of God to be revealed through the ministry, through our lives, individually and collectively. Verse 3 again. And then said the king unto her, what will thou, Queen Esther, and what is your request? And then look at the exceedingly abundantly above. It shall be given thee to the half of the. What do you want? I'll give you half. You can ask for anything up to half of that. I ain't going to give you three quarters, but I'll give you half of the kingdom. I ain't going to give you it all, but whatever you want, I'll give you. Esther, you got half of the kingdom. Whew. Power of praying and fasting. You could have dealt with the fruit. She dealt with the root. She got serious with God. When do we get to the point that we get serious with God? Because if we never give him 100%, we never know what he can do. You'll really never know what God can do in your singleness, in your marriage, in your life, in your business, in your ministry, in your family, with your kids. You and I will never know until we give him, until we're sold out to the point where, God, I see through all this stuff and I'm going after you. And I'm going to allow you and your hand to move in my life. Verse 3 again. I love this. Make sure you got a highlighter, put a star by it or something. Then said the king unto her, what do you want, Queen Esther? Remember, she ain't been in 30 days. And when he saw her, that's what, God, thank you for the sacrifice, for the prayer, for the courage to say, I'm going in after God. I know the God that I serve, and he can move this king's heart. But if I perish, I'm going to perish. But I'm a perish serving God. And what is your request? It shall be given thee to half of the kingdom. And then next week we'll pick up on what she requested. Amen. Let us bow our heads and go after God this morning just in prayer. I told you I identified 8 things that after praying and fasting that they had received from God. We got one. One was favor. We'll kind of go over the other 7 during the course of the next few weeks. So, Lord, we just thank you and we bless you. Lord, you've taken us a lot of places this morning. From root to fruit to communication to commitment to lying and fabricating and covering up. And God, you're not really concerned about the stuff. You're more concerned about our heart. You don't need the stuff, but you need our heart. You don't want the stuff. You want our heart. You want us. And we see your hand responds when we see the hand of God respond when we give you 100%. God, let that be our commitment. Let that be our prayer. Let that be our desire, that each day we get closer and closer to giving you 100% of everything. So we watch the hand of God move in our life. We want to see your hand move in our singleness, in our marriages, within our kids, within our families, within our job, our church. We want to trust you in each and every situation, knowing that you've already have it worked out. And this stuff doesn't mean anything without a genuine, authentic relationship with you. So I'm praying right now, Lord, maybe someone's here and they say, Pastor, I don't even know if I'm saved. My first step of getting to the root is if I'm really saved. Maybe you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, or maybe you're just not sure. I'd love to pray with you if that's your situation. Elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. You want to make sure that you're saved. You want to know that you're saved. Maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, I just need to rededicate my life. I got to get back on track. Tomorrow starts June, the sixth month of the year. And up to this point, 2015 has just been an extension of 2014. And here I am 6 months and I'm still playing 2014 games in 2015. I just need to get serious about my relationship with God. Hey, God's always, the King is always where he's been. He's on the right hand of the Father. He's on the throne, interceding for us. He's even praying for you now. He's rooting for us. God has always been rooting for you and I to live victoriously because we already have the victory. He's already done all the work on Calvary. We just have to commit to him and live this thing. The Holy Spirit would lead and guide and help us. If you're here and you're saying, Pastor, I just need to rededicate my life, then elevate your hand. I love to pray with you. I love to pray for you. Maybe you're here, you say, Pastor, I've been visiting and looking for a church home, and God has kind of put on my heart that I'm to unite with South Bay Abundant Life Church. If that's you, elevate your hand. We'd love to be your family here. We're not members, we are family. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. We love you. Lord, we know that there's none like you and there's nothing too hard for you to do. We know that you're challenging us to grow up, to live this thing. Times are too uncertain to be playing church. People are dying and going to hell, and we can't play church. Got to get serious about sharing the gospel. Planting that seed, someone else will water, and God will give the increase. So God, continue to challenge us to be who you created us to be. Let us not be ashamed and to take a stand for you. Let us not get comfortable in our nice homes and think that we're not going to have to deal with the persecution as those that are truly committed to Christ. Thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for challenging us. Now allow us to live it. We love you, Lord. We bless you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand up. Give somebody a hug. Lord, we thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. You are dismissed.